What do you feel like doing tonight?
I don't know, Ange. What do you feel like doing?
Oh, what do you feel like doing tonight?
I don't know, Ange. What do you feel like doing?
We're back to that, huh? I say to you, what do you feel like doing tonight? And you say back to me, I don't know what you feel like doing tonight. Then we wind up sitting around your house with a couple of cans of beer watching a hit parade on television.
Let's go to movies.
Director!
This is a frightened city.
Wait for it! Director! Cut!
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for a new film talk show, Film Sociology, with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
Hello, film lovers, and welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD To The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. One tiny schedule change in today's show. Stacey Sudeville was supposed to sit in, and she is going to be at her husband's birthday party, which I guess makes sense in the world, so hopefully we'll have Stacey on a little later on. So sorry to all the MoFro fans and Staceyites. We'll get her on. It's been very busy here at WFYI. We are in our fall membership campaign, and out of habit, 1-800-233-0020 or WFYI.org if you want to support 90.1 or HD To The Point or WFYI.org if you're listening online or if you're podcasting the show, which is now available, and I've been told it's sounding pretty good. Thank you, Stephen. Working the board with me, Melissa Davis, another person who's actually, we're actually relieved that the St. Louis Rams are still just a bad team.
Sure.
And not with a really bad owner. I'm sorry, co-owner. So, and we have company. Filmmaker Stephen Neary is in town.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. Stephen is one of the many filmmakers, is a part of the Heartland Film Festival, which kicked off yesterday and is running through the 24th. And we'll have Stephen on in a little bit, although he'll provide peppery commentary whenever he feels like it.
Yeah, the peanut gallery.
To talk about his animated spaghetti epic, Chicken Cowboy.
Yep.
A chicken western, not a spaghetti western.
It's a chicken who learns to be a man.
Who's a chicken? Is this Victor Victoria? No, never mind. See, I love when filmmakers are in, because when you hear the intro, I can see in his brain he's trying to remember, okay, I know this film. Wait, what is that? So, but we have lots and lots to talk about. And big shocker, the remake thriller, The Stepfather, not screened for the press.
Really?
Yeah,
I'm afraid. Shocked.
Well, and by the way, the original is part of the new cult canon piece, thanks to The Onion, Film Sociology's number one news source for film information and fun. And Law Abiding Citizen, well, I think that was screened for the press. I just didn't get around to it. But let's talk about what's really opening this weekend besides Heartland Film Festival. I think one of the most anticipated films of the year, Where the Wild Things Are, the new film based on the Maurice Sendak classic children's story, directed and co-written by Spike Jonze, who made, well, more videos than I can imagine, as well as being John Malkovich and adaptation. He also co-wrote the screenplay along with David Eggers, who did one of my favorite films so far of 2009, Away We Go. And this is the story of a young boy named Max, actually played by an actor named Max Records, who gets frustrated at home and runs to an island. Well, not really runs. He gets on a boat and floats to an island to the title. And all of these monsters, well, they are big, scary monsters, but they have voices provided by James Gandolfini and Paul Dano and Catherine O'Hara, Forest Whitaker, Chris Cooper, and Lauren Ambrose. Not bad company. So I'm going to play for you, Melissa's going to play them for you because I'm just the host. But we're going to play for you a couple of clips involving Max and his new monster friends. Take a listen.
This is our family. I hope you can see how excited they are to have a king. Sometimes they have an odd way of showing it. I mean, they act weird, you know, and can hurt other people's feelings.
Ira, my love.
What?
Come here.
Oh, that's Judith and Ira. They're in love.
Ah!
Whoa!
What are you thinking?
That's Alexander.
Look, I hate this tree!
No, wait, what was that?
That's Douglas. I count on him for everything.
Well,
I was stranded on a desert island. I could only take one thing. Be Douglas. We can share him if you want.
Douglas, no, stop! That's not the way I want you to do it.
Oh,
here,
I'm sorry.
How did that happen? It was an accident. I don't know how that happened.
We haven't formally met. I'm Ara. I put the holes in the trees. Maybe you saw those. Maybe not. Anyways, it's what I do. Not really important, like things that you do. Oh, and this is Judith.
Ah, you don't really need to know me. Kind of a downer.
King, that's not true.
Hey, what's your face?
You can introduce me to the king if you want.
Here, let me see your face. Ooh, what's that? Don't worry, let me see it.
So what we're going to do is we're going to try to kill the bad guys by beating them in the head with these dirt clods. And we're going to try to find the biggest pieces.
You didn't see that coming.
During the clip, Steven asked me, is this a show that gives away spoilers? Yeah. Rosebud was a sled. They're made from people.
No.
Everybody in the Oregon Express did it.
Stop.
I'm Kaiser Soze. What, is there anything else I need to... the father and the grandfather and the daughter? No.
The end of 2001 Space Odyssey, but it doesn't make sense.
I think that it turns Clayton Forrester back into a baby, and then Mrs. Forrester chases Mike and the bots.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's Mr. Science Theater. Never mind.
Yeah.
So I had a bunch of questions on Facebook from parents,
mm-hmm.
not so much concerned, but asking the question, is this kid friendly? Now, our kids film correspondent, well, she's with mommy right now, and my daughter Emma, she's 7, and there were two moments that I've discussed with others. And the very first scene, I'll get to the script adaptation in a moment, but early on there's a scene where Max, even before the title hits the screen, is chasing an animal with dining utensils. I think sometimes some boys, nobody in this room,
no.
Boys act that way. They're boys. You know.
Oh, I know.
They're boys. The only time Emma clutched my arm is early on when the monsters are kind of surrounding Max, and then he declares that he is king and everything is fine. Yes, the film's PG. It's fine. Don't worry about
it. Maybe not, like, is there an age that you think? Do you think under 5 it would be too scary for?
If they've not been to a film, I would probably say yes.
Right. Monsters.
Yes, monsters. I guess it really depends on your kid's mental capacity about the concept of monsters. Mm-hmm. Are they, like, Grover monsters, or are they, like, Universal from the 40s monsters? I don't know.
Are they real? Do they exist in real life?
Right. Are the voices in your head? I mean, so be careful, I guess. But you know, make sure it's a child that actually has an attention span, because it is an hour and 40 minutes. I don't think it's a problem. Then again, my child saw Hamlet, Macbeth, and King Lear, so she's... but I think this might be a good starting point for some who are, like I said, are not afraid of monsters per se. What's beautiful about this film is its simplicity. The film was shot in Melbourne, Australia, because I wondered where they were going to get a place with a beach and mountains and woods and desert and sand and all that. And they shot it there, and I've done a little bit of research. I was really concerned if there was going to be any CG at all. Mm-hmm. And I kept thinking of Ang Lee saying he had put in some CG clouds in Sense and Sensibility. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, is it going to be like that? I mean, did he really have to pretty up Spike Jonze? Did he have to pretty up the landscape or not?
Yeah.
And it's just a very simply, beautifully looking film of beautiful landscape and these really well-made monsters by Jim Henson's company. The voices are a lot of fun. We were talking off air. It's nice to hear James Gandolfini doing something considerably different than his last decade of work. Gandolfini has appeared in two of my favorite films this year, In the Loop, as well as this film. Now, as far as how do you make a full-length feature film out of a book with what 300 some odd words? And I don't think I'm giving and Steve, I'm not giving away much on this one.
No, yeah. Okay. I knew it was a short book. So.
Just check it. Well, you know, sometimes you may have parents that just save the last chapter for you. But in this one, you get a little bit, not a prequel per se, but a little bit of how Max got that way, how it motivated him to want to leave home and get on the boat to where the wild things are. And there's a great moment early on, and anybody who's been a child and anybody who has children will know this moment where he is, Max's parents are separated. His mom is played by Catherine Keener. She's got a couple of nice moments in the film. And he has an older sister, and the boyfriend and some other friends show up at the house, and he has this little fort. He's taking a big pile of sand or snow and dug a little tunnel, and that's his little fort. And he started gathering up snowballs because that's what boys do. And then when the teenagers come out of the house, they have a snowball fight, and everything is fun. Everybody's getting pelted, everybody's having a good time, and Max crawls into his little tunnel, and one of the teenagers just leaps on top of the tunnel and crushes it. Oh. Burying him, and Max comes out of the snow with tears in his eyes.
I think that's happened to me before.
I think it's happened to a lot of us, and as a parent or as somebody with who is older with a younger sibling, you're playing. Oh, somebody's crying.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I know I heard about this kid that climbed into a balloon that was silver.
That is all over the news.
Sorry.
And by the way, that dad was on wife swap twice. He needs to go to jail just on principle.
But there is that feeling when you're little and you're like, yay,
So and that that motivate and then that and there's if you blink you'll miss Mark Ruffalo who plays the boyfriend. He's got half a scene. I guess he's got, I think, the line. He has one line of dialogue, so we can get the credit, screen credit on this one.
Good.
The other big stretch in the book is the relationship between the monsters. Gandolfini plays Carol. He's got an ex-girlfriend monster with the voice of Lauren Ambrose, lucky. And they build the fort, and there's kind of snipping and sniping, and the Gandolfini monster is a little bit of a control freak. Mm-hmm. But there's a great line where they're playing, Carol falls down, and one monster steps on his head, and another one steps on his face, and he gets upset, and he informs the monster, you know, he stepped on the side part of my face, you stepped on the face part of my head. I mean, the monsters act and talk and react like children. And I think that's probably the smart thing that happens in the script that it is alluded to, obviously, in the book and is fleshed out more in the film. And, yes, here at Film Sociology, we're not afraid to admit if the film gives you a lump in the throat or maybe tear up. I did near the end.
Even the trailer was, you know.
Well, not quite the trailer.
It was making men cry, I think.
Yeah, it was. It was. More than Braveheart or The Dirty Dozen. Yeah. And Emma was fine. Emma was fine.
Uh-huh.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for making fun of my masculinity, Melissa. I appreciate that.
Emma's awesome.
Yeah, she is awesome. She was fine. I'm like,
did she laugh at you?
No! Shut up! God, shut up!
She was happy that she has a sensitive father, too.
She's like, oh.
Yeah. You guys keep guessing that. That's nice. No, I'll tell you what's even more embarrassing, and this is a completely bad dad story. But for the first time in a long, long time, because my wife could not be at the screening, there was an attractive woman who I had no idea was sitting next to me. Because that never happens when you go to advanced screenings, because it's, well, it's other people. Meanwhile, yeah, it's in dark, and you go... And no, I didn't try to blow it off and go, allergies. I'm allergic to sentimental endings.
Aww.
So anyway, despite who was sitting next to me and my daughter not sniffling throughout the film, she's fine. And by the way, she gives it the Emma stamp of approval. She enjoyed it a great deal. So yeah, I also informed her this better come out as a 2-disc special edition DVD right out of the bat. Don't give me the single disc with no features nonsense. Mm-hmm. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. I'm looking at you, among other DVDs. Yeah. Don't rip us off. But no, this was a film that had high expectations, and it delivered. So bravo to Spike Jonze and Dave Eggers and everybody else, and Max Records, who plays the kid. I did a search. He had one other movie role. He was one of the younger characters in The Brothers Bloom.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Which lasted less than 2 weeks in here. I don't know how it did in New York.
Maybe 4 weeks.
4 weeks. Oh, well, luxury. <Yeah. laughs> but bravo for him. He goes through quite a bit, and this was a hell of a filmmaking experience, I think, for everybody. So overall, this is what I thought of Where the Wild Things Are.
Yes, 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 yes.
We love Sir Ben. Now we move on to a documentary another one that I actually have high hopes for and is finally in Indianapolis. I think it opened in the Big Three a couple of weeks ago, but it's the documentary Yoo-Hoo, Mrs. Goldberg. I have to say it that way so I don't sound like the title, because you have to say it that certain way because it's the title. But it's about Gertrude Berg, a woman who was the writer, producer, and star of a radio, later a TV show called The Goldbergs. And she was kind of the first mogul, entertainment mogul of her kind. This was before Lucy, and the fact that it was a sitcom on radio and TV about a blue-collar Jewish family deep in the heart of New York City. So here's a sample.
Hello. I don't know. Hello is such a little word for such a big feeling. I want to say hello to you with all the letters in the alphabet. That would be a hello. Anyway, hello.
Before Martha, before Oprah, there was Gertrude Berg, creator and star of The Goldbergs.
Gertrude Berg invented the sitcom and wrote it.
Don't forget, David, darling, marriage is just not an express train where you get on the first station and you get off the last station. Don't forget, David, darling, there are local stops in between.
Gertrude Berg is the most famous woman in America you never heard of.
She was no shrinking violet.
The press dubbed Gertrude Berg the first lady of radio.
Well, now, you're one of the few people I've ever known who both write and act. Which do you prefer?
Act. When you live with a character as long as I've lived with Molly, it gets a little confusing. I'm really Molly more hours through the day than I am Gertrude Berg.
When Molly started selling things, it was pioneering in every way.
With a little boiling water and no coffee pots to wash, 1, 2, 3, you have a delicious cup of Sanka coffee.
You remembered it, and you shopped.
Gertrude Berg was the first Best Actress Emmy winner and a Tony Award winner.
Everybody loved Molly Goldberg. Didn't matter if you were a Catholic nun or a Jewish person.
Leave the matzah crumpets. Also the matzah scones.
You didn't think about religion or even ethnicity. Listening to Molly Goldberg, you thought about families.
The ad campaign says you don't have to be Jewish to love Mrs. Goldberg, and I fully agree on this. And Stephen, during the trailer, Stephen asked, are there any monsters in this movie?
Went,
yeah, they bring up the Red Scare in the 50s, so Joseph McCarthy is in this as hideous a monster as there ever was one.
I guess I'm still really excited about where the wild things
are.
And
that's really okay. That's fine. And they also mentioned two monsters in this. That's unfairly comparing her to Martha Stewart and Oprah Winfrey. That's not fair.
That's not fair at all.
Gertrude Berg never went to jail for embezzlement. And I bet if she pushed New York City in the Olympics, they'd get past the first round.
Oh.
And I bet Gertrude Berg never shut down the streets of New York City to do her radio show. You know, I don't think she would invite R. Kelly over to the production of The Color Purple. I don't think she would say that the environment is great and give everybody a car. I don't think Gertrude Berg would invite a Nazi over for Seder and serve pork. Call me crazy.
I just don't know enough about any of these women, really.
Have I railed against Miss Winfrey?
You're
and
about
not,
to anger all the Oprah fans.
Oprah Antoinette?
Oprah's not.
Yes, she is.
She's cool. I like Oprah. I like Oprah.
When she's giving...
Sometimes.
See, you have trepidation.
You can't like everyone all
hesitation.
The time. But, yeah, she's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's got interesting. Nothing... I mean, I've never met her, but...
neither have I. Yeah. Did you invite R. Kelly to a musical about a woman who's abused? No.
Who's
maybe.
My friend.
I love Trapped in the Closet,
not
actually.
Your friend. Because you know what? You're too old.
Yeah. Yeah, Matt.
I'm sorry, can we get back to the documentary about this?
Oh, no.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Boy. Angered R. Kelly fans and the Oprah fans.
Oh, come and get me. But pledge first. 1-800-233-0020-WFYI.org. This documentary is made by, I hope I'm saying this right, Aviva Kepner, who made a wonderful documentary that I loved a few years back, The Life and Times of Hank Greenberg, one of my all-time favorite Detroit Tiger players. And, but this is a fascinating story. I guess you could say, style-wise, yeah, you could see this on any cable channel on Biography or the whatever, the History Channel or what have you. And I knew a little bit about Gertrude Berg. I knew that there was a series called The Goldbergs. I'd heard bits and pieces of it. But this is a very fascinating woman. The fact that in the 40s, to be able to write and produce and star in your own show and have a hit show. Could you imagine? And a lot of people talked about how it's not a Jewish show, it's an American show, which I agree. But you couldn't get a show like this made today. Mm. Not this. I think the last time they tried to cover a world like this was Brooklyn Bridge, and look how long that lasted. And I'm getting blank stares. That was a very short-lived sitcom.
Sorry.
It's okay. Before your time. No, it was a short-lived sitcom with Marion Ross as a Jewish grandmother.
I'll look it up on YouTube.
Might be, yeah, or IMDb, either way.
Sorry.
But no, she's a fascinating lady. She stuck to her guns. The actor who played her husband wound up on the list, and sponsors wound up pulling the show. And it was, so yeah, this was a, she stuck to her guns as best as possible, wound up moving the show from NBC to CBS, wound up doing some movie work and a little bit of television, and, 3 years after she was done acting, died in 1966. But a very fascinating woman, very nice, sweet woman from what you see in this. It was a shame. Obviously, it's a shame that the McCarthy hearings took down a lot of people's careers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll save the Ilya Kazan debate for another day, another show in this one. No, I love Kazan. But anyway, overall, I think if you get a chance, if you love radio comedies and you love the early days of television and you want to see a strong, independent woman, this is definitely Gertrude Berg, and this is definitely worth checking out. Yoo-hoo, Mrs. Goldberg. Here's my thought.
Yes, 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 yes!
Okay, we're going to take a short break so we can filter through all the hate mail from the Harpo company. And her cicada-sounding audience
members.
They were
listening. They were about to syndicate you. You were going to be on XM Sirius, and now.
Really?
What were you thinking?
So I could follow in the tradition of the other guests and complain that nobody's subscribing to my program?
Yeah.
Is Artie Lang available? Anyway.
Artie was out this week.
And, well, in more ways than one. Anyway, we're going to take a short break, and we'll talk about what is new on DVD. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Naptown is nowhere near as sleepy as it sounds.
I say phooey to those who say there's nothing to do in Indianapolis, and we bring it to you on the IndianapolisMusic.net podcast every week.
It's a feature of our top 10 shows, as voted on by music journalists across the city, and our On Track artist, featuring a local recording each and every week right here on the IndianapolisMusic.net podcast and WFYI HD2 Thursdays at 4 p.m.
Are either one of these any good? Sir?
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store!
And the video store is open. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org and podcasting. If you have a question or a comment or a gripe, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. Mark your calendars, Sunday, October 25th, 1 p.m. at Easley Winery in downtown Indy. I will be hosting a film discussion. So after waking up or going to church or whatever it is you do on Sundays, you can come by 1 o'clock. It's a $6 cover. First glass is on the house, and you keep the glass. And we'll be talking about scary movies, intentionally and unintentionally scary, scary films, because that's how I work. So, and yes, it's beginning to look a lot like Halloween, because we have films that were, well, horror movies that came out in August coming out on DVD now or earlier. And, yeah, The Stepfather, which was not screened for the press, and Saw 6 opens next week, also won't be screened for the press. So, you know, unless I decide to play the trailer on the show,
no,
don't worry about
please
it.
Please don't.
No, that's really okay.
We'll just be, yeah.
Opens Friday.
Exactly.
However, opening in theaters today, or opening on DVD this week, I should say, is a film that is making me, at least in one case, second-guess the concept of the PG-13 horror films. Yes, I was one of those snarky people that say, PG-13 horror films is like sugar-free ice cream or O'Doul's. Yeah. What is the point? Well, the point is Drag Me to Hell, the new film directed and co-written by Sam Raimi, starring a real actress, Alison Lohman, as a woman who works at a bank who's trying to get a promotion and winds up rejecting the wrong person. Give a listen.
Mr. Jacks, I was wondering if you'd made any decision regarding the assistant manager's position.
It's between Stu and yourself.
Stu Rubin, the new guy?
Stu's someone who's not afraid to make the tough decisions.
I'm perfectly capable of making the tough decisions.
I'll let you know as soon as I decide, okay?
Will you help me? Please.
Okay. We have an elderly woman asking for an extension on her mortgage payment. We would have to throw her out of her house.
We've already granted her 2 extensions. It's a tough decision. Your call.
Another extension is out of the question.
Where will I live?
I'm really sorry.
Never have I begged for anything. But now, I humble myself before you. I beg you.
Please, Papa. He's a ghost!
Forget it! You shame me. Soon it will be you who comes begging to me.
Someone has cursed you. Is the Lamia, the most feared of all demons. For the first 3 days, the spirit torments its victims. After that, it will come to take you.
Take me where?
To burn in hell for eternity.
It's coming for me.
Please listen to me. There's nothing coming for you.
How do I get rid of this?
I welcome. You can give the curse away.
Help!
Yes, Sam Raimi. Wow, it has been over almost 30 years of Sam Raimi work. I was 12 when the first Evil Dead came out, and one of my first pieces of film knowledge was when I heard he put a camera, he attached a camera to a 2x4. Mm-hmm. And he and another guy would on each end would just run through the forest.
Yeah, because they didn't have money for the monster.
You know? Right. So and that was their cool little camera trick. So me and two other guys got a camera, strapped it to a 2x4.
He's taken that pretty far, I think.
Yeah, I think a little bit. You think?
He's run with that.
And this was apparently a big to-do in Sam Raimi's world because, well, his last film was the very disappointing Spider-Man 3. And he's decided to go back to his roots, as we say here in the Midwest, and do a horror film. And it's a straight-ahead horror film. No offense to anybody fans of Bruce Campbell. Now, that's a group I don't want to irritate. And but this is more like the first Evil Dead. Mm-hmm. It does help that you have, like I said, an actual actress, Alison Lohman, who we know from Big Fish, Matchstick Men, many, many others. But she's not a bimbo willing to take off her clothes and go through the hallway wondering what the noise is. Those type of actresses. Melissa's favorites.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Advancing the cause.
Advancing the cause, right. Megan Fox is an great influence. You know, that sort of thing. So it helps that she's an actress in this. Justin Long plays the boyfriend. David Paymer is her boss. And it's genuinely really creepy. And, yes, I watched the unrated version on DVD. Don't you love it when it's the exact same running time?
Yeah.
So I think there's a couple of moments happens. There's a blood spitting moment. Don't mean to wreck it for you, Melissa. But
don't worry.
No, but there's some pretty creepy imagery in this one about the old woman putting a curse on her, and she's got 3 days to try to get this curse off of her. Mm-hmm. So there's a little blood. There's a little toothless woman licking faces, and there's just a little hint of comedic menace that Raimi did with the Evil Dead series.
Yeah, I've heard it's kind of funny at the same time. It's scary.
There's a few
funny
funny moments, but it's not like Freddy Krueger. There's no one-liners dropped or anything like that, because that just kind of got my knickers in a twist. If I want to laugh, I'll go to a comedy. If I want to get scared, I want to see a horror film. Yeah. I don't want to ease up my tension. I want to be tense for 90 minutes and then go home. Mm-hmm. or turn off my DVD player. So that being said, I'm intrigued to see what Raimi's going to do next, obviously, now that he's got I think he's set for life with the last three franchise films he worked on. Yeah.
Is he doing World of Warcraft or something?
Well, I tend to not care until I see a trailer or a poster, because remember,
idea of video game to movie doesn't excite you.
No, it's not so much that. I mean, there can be good ones, but I had two friends that were going to beat each other up because one was convinced Ken Branagh was going to be Obi-Wan in the last three Star Wars movies. Wow. And other ridiculous internet rumors.
Yeah.
You remember how long it took Freddy versus Jason and Alien versus Predator to finally emerge?
Yeah.
After decades of rumor, so. When it happens, I'll
call
me back.
Okay.
So
in
anyway,
the meantime, we have Super Mario Brothers and the movie, you know, to
right.
Tide
That's
ourselves over with.
Yeah.
And by the way, Captain Lou Albano is gone, so raise a glass to his honor.
Cheers.
Cheers. So anyway, if you are into horror films, and this is an exception, it's a PG-13 horror film, not a ripoff of a Japanese remake that was good to begin with. But welcome back to the horror genre, Sam Raimi. Here's what I think of Drag Me to Hell.
Now that was a good movie!
And a good rental. Also on DVD this week, the comedy, speaking of resurgence, Sandra Bullock, after appearing in Crash and doing the other Capote film that nobody saw, infamous, I did, she is back to old hat in a comedy called The Proposal, where she plays a not-nice business lady who, by the way, she's Canadian in this film, in case anybody couldn't figure that out. And going to have her visa expired and thrown out of the country, but she decides to marry her much fought-on assistant, played by Mr. Scarlett Johansson, Ryan Reynolds. Take a listen.
No.
Cutting it close.
Oh, come on!
Good morning, Miss Tate. I need you around this weekend. You have a problem with that?
no. I just my grandmother's 90th birthday, so I was gonna go home and it's fine. I'll cancel it.
Is that your family?
Yes.
They tell you to quit?
Every single day. Margaret Tate's office.
This isn't about my second raise, is it?
Margaret, your visa application is denied. You're being deported.
Deported? It's not like I'm an immigrant or something. I'm from Canada.
If you're deported, you can't work for an American company.
If there was any way at all that we could make this thing work.
Pardon the interruption.
I understand the predicament, but there's something that you should know. We are, we're getting married.
Who is getting married?
You and I are getting married. Yes.
We are.
Getting married.
We are getting married.
Yes. Can't find a love like ours. So, are we good?
Make it all legal and we'll put this whole thing behind us.
I'm not going to marry you.
If you don't, you'll be on the street all alone looking for a job.
Have the two of you told your parents about your secret love?
We're going to their place this weekend.
Oh, where's that? Alaska.
Alaska. Where's Andrew's room? He'll sleep in here with you. We love to snuggle, don't we, honey?
Huge snugglers.
Breakfast for the happy couple. Oh, my God, what is that?
I'm sorry.
What is it?
It's the morning.
This summer.
How can you be around someone who made your life so miserable?
Sweetie, honey.
Some proposals change you.
Why don't you get married here tomorrow?
Let's see a kiss.
Just do it really fast.
For better or worse.
Give her a real kiss.
Sandra Bullock.
Hello?
Ryan Reynolds.
Oh!
Oh my God!
Naked!
Why are you wet?
The proposal.
Maybe a tad loose in certain areas. I'm a bit chesty to begin with. It's like an Easter egg hunt. There they are. Yeah, that's
yeah, Sandra Bullock gets felt up by Betty White and,
Betty White
and unintentionally gets naked with Ryan Reynolds.
I hate it when that happens. You know?
Which one?
Both.
Okay.
Watch out for Betty White. You never know.
Apparently Cloris Leachman was not available. So I think the two of them share the feisty grandmother roles. I know. I do, too. I do, too. Well, she keeps her mouth clean in this one.
Oh.
But, Bullock is back to old hat. And that's, obviously it worked. It got over $100 million. But then again, she made All About Steve and nobody saw it. But
yeah.
So we'll see what happens next on this. The problem is they're terrible liars at the beginning of the film. Michael Nouri, who apparently is one of the dumbest bosses in cinema history, accepts the fact that she's going to get married to a man who had no idea what was going on into the scenario.
Right.
And then we get really gorgeous footage of Alaska. And, by the way, you can see Russia and defeat from your house.
Of course.
And I love cinematic gene pools. Ryan Reynolds' parents are played by Mary Steenburgen and Craig T. Nelson.
Hmm.
Okay.
Ponder that.
Okay.
I know.
More reasons to see the movie.
More reasons to see how that happened. And then, once they get to Alaska, yes, it's kind of standard. They actually turn to like each other, and there's a third wheel girl from the past, and, pretty predictable stuff. And, feisty grandma, Betty White. So, but...
Give it one star for that.
No, I would give stars, but then nobody would listen to me. It's like we don't give thumbs, then we have to give that guy in Chicago money. I don't want to do that. Sorry, I love him, but no, I'm not going to do that. Really. And the other redeeming factor is this is not the first, but the second film in which Ryan Reynolds plays a character I don't want to just bash against the wall. He's not playing something, it rhymes with Louchebag. So between this and Adventureland. So maybe he's done doing with Van Wilder waiting type material. We'll see. Well, it's true. And no, I'm not just jealous because you married Scarlett Johansson. Really.
Sure.
Can everybody hear that eye roll that came with that?
Yeah.
It's like being at home.
Most guys don't like him, and you have to wonder why.
Well, I think part of it was when Ed Burns thinks you're the most smug character in modern cinema, that doesn't help, but then the Scarlett Joe thing just kind of put it over the edge.
And Alanis Morissette. He broke Alanis Morissette's heart.
But she didn't write a song about it.
Not that we know of.
No, not cool. That one. It's still I think
can't break her heart.
Are we still thinking that's Dave Coulier that was the inspiration? Okay,
I think that's the consensus.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It
wasn't me.
It's on the blogs.
Uncle Joe.
Is it on the blog? She should have been like Carly Simon. She just held out for $500,000 and then tell the guy and swear on the secrecy. I know the song is about me.
Yeah.
I was 4 when I turned her down. Anyway. Yeah, if you're into movies from the director of 27 Dresses and Step Up, well, you know, have at it. Mm-hmm. You can have it. Here's what I think.
Turn it off. Turn it off. Turn it off!
Also on DVD this week, Land of the Lost. Well, let's move on, shall we? Because you didn't see it.
No, I didn't.
Melissa didn't see
it. I don't even know what it's about. And I have no clue what it is.
It's based on a TV show that was made before you were born.
Okay.
Okay, we'll move on, shall we?
I don't need to see it.
Yeah, it really wasn't all that great. Okay, also on DVD this week, because it is Halloween soon, the original version of The Stepfather, which is new cult canon, the Canadian thriller Happy Birthday to Me, and Hardware. So, here are, and Stephen now is now part of the segment we call If You Owned a Blu-ray. There are some movie titles that are coming out on Blu-ray, and if you owned a Blu-ray, would you buy this film? Now, this is not saying it's a good or a bad film, but would you plunk down Blu-ray money to have the Blu-ray experience with these particular films?
If I already had the player, if
or game player, yes.
Right.
You work around that. Okay. No, we talked about that. Oh, we already talked about that. Look at that. Okay. I'm getting there. South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut.
So
yes.
I think I'd have to.
I'm afraid so.
I might pass on that, you know.
Really?
I don't know if there's a lot to add.
Saddam's swinging thing, that's not going to be a clearer picture for you?
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of get it in low resolution.
I don't know. I think,
get all the jokes.
I think Ike being kicked through the window at the beginning and the music, the musical numbers. You know, because this film should have won Best Song that year.
Oh, yeah. Robin Williams came out and
did
sang
Blame
that,
Canada. So, and they made fun of Phil Collins forever because of that ridiculous Tarzan song. I know.
Yeah.
Okay, also on Blu-ray, Stop Making Sense.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That's a good one.
It's great.
You got a double dose there. You got a film about the Talking Heads, and it's directed by Jonathan Demme.
Yeah, and a lot of good music.
Kind of defined really good music. The concert film.
For that generation, I think it changed from the multi-screened concert docs like Elvis on Tour and Woodstock, and you could actually have a little bit of cinema knowledge, I guess. You could be an auteur and make those. And as much as I like Stop Making Sense, I loved Heart of Gold, his one about Neil Young. And apparently he has another one coming out with Neil Young later this year. Just a couple other notes. The 1967 BBC version of Wuthering Heights is on DVD, in case you need that. And The Sun Chaser, the last film, or latest and last film from Michael Cimino, the man who gave us The Deer Hunter and Heaven's Gate.
Heaven's Gate.
And The Sicilian and Desperate Hours and Year of the Dragon. Been a long time, Michael. When you're a filmmaker that could almost single-handedly cripple a studio, That's something to be said. It does take something. We'll talk about that later. All right, we're going to take a short break, and we'll talk a little bit about Chicken Cowboy in just a minute. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Naptown is nowhere near as sleepy as it sounds.
I say fooey to those who say there's nothing to do in Indianapolis, and we bring it to you on the IndianapolisMusic.net podcast every week. It's a feature of our top 10 shows, as voted on by music journalists across the city, and our On Track artist, featuring a local recording each and every week right here on the IndianapolisMusic.net podcast and WFYI HD2 Thursdays at 4 p.m.
Oh, Roger! We're not alone.
We got guests.
You got what?
Guests. Yeah, guests. People. We've got guests coming over.
When?
Now.
Who are you?
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one.
And we have opinions in the studio. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD To The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. And I'm also on Facebook. Mark your calendars, Sunday, October 25th at Easley Winery, downtown Indy, from 1 to 3. I will be there hosting a discussion about scary movies, intentionally scary and unintentionally scary. Don't know if we'll talk about The Proposal. We'll find out. Or Lambs of Lost. But a $6 cover, first drink is on the house, and you keep the glass, so that is a good time. Now, before we have our guest, got a couple other little film notes. Singer Al Martino died this past Tuesday at the age of 82. And for those who don't know, he was a singer who did songs like Can't Help Falling in Love, Spanish Eyes, Here in My Heart, Volare, for you fans of Hollywood Nights. But he's best known for playing singer Johnny Fontaine in The Godfather. Yes, this led to, well, the horse's head. Because Johnny Fontaine had to be in this movie. And for you trivia buffs, does anybody know what story, what angle is this the Johnny Fontaine character based on?
Is that Frank Sinatra?
Frank Sinatra. Apparently he was loosely based on Frank Sinatra, who really wanted to be in From Here to Eternity.
Right.
And, well, Frank did, and got an Oscar for it. And, well, Johnny Fontaine wanted to be in that movie, and, well, he did. Yeah. So, thank you, Marlon Brando, for that. I'll try to find, maybe, hopefully next week, play that clip. And in a serious article published by The Onion and the AV Club, this is not very long. Disturbing news today from the Chicago Tribune, which reports a 21-year-old veteran killed himself after an altercation with theater employees in Muncie, Indiana.
I heard about this.
According to the article, the man was asked for an ID to see the R-rated film Zombieland, and the scene escalated from there. Unsurprisingly, police say the man, who told theater employees he killed 18 people while in the military, had been drinking. Surprisingly, one of his male companions gave him a handgun just before he shot himself in the head.
And he was on his way to go back to Afghanistan, wasn't that?
I believe
the story?
So.
Yeah.
And so,
wow.
Yep, you're old enough to kill or fight, but drinking and go to R-rated movies. So I'm just going to leave that one right there. But yes. There's news from our beloved town of our beloved Muncie. Alma mater, yes. Muncie.
It's good to be back.
Welcome back. It's a good thing you're out of New York. Just as we said before, the Heartland Film Festival is going on this weekend and next weekend. Go to heartlandfilmfestival.org for all the screenings and times. And I got to sit through some screeners of some of the films, and this actually happened. Not only do I have a guest whose film I did see, but I really, really liked it. And I'm not just saying that because you and your mom are here. No, it's just a joke.
Hey, somebody had to drive me here, you know.
Not saying it, man. Stephen Neary, the creator of Chicken Cowboy, is here with us. Thank you for coming in the Film Sociology.
Oh, my pleasure.
Now, for those who don't know, it's a 6-minute animated feature that is about, well, did you hear the title? Chicken Cowboy.
Yeah.
It's a cowboy western.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of nice little homages to the spaghetti westerns of the 60s and some of the Anthony Mann, Jimmy Stewart serious westerns of the 50s, like Winchester 73, Duel in the Sun, other titles like that. Am I right? Am I hitting the right genre inspirations?
You're giving me a lot of credit that,
you just wanted to make a cartoon.
I just wanted to make a cool cartoon.
With a chicken cowboy.
I really appreciate it, you know. Thank you for reading into it that much. It's great.
All right, so how'd you come up with the idea of a chicken cowboy?
Actually, I was animating in the city at the time. I was working on this preschool show called Wonder Pets, and
On Wonder Pets?
I used to work on Wonder Pets.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
You know what, if Emma was here, we'd be on the phone. The phone is ringing.
Teamwork.
Yeah, so I would listen to these songs all day.
Teamwork, sorry.
And
Ming Ming rules. I'm sorry, go on.
No, I would just that was what I heard all day on my headphones. It was these songs, you know, over and over again as I was animating them. And
did you go home and go, oh no, I had my dinner.
It was kind
I
of
need something to eat.
I would dream about the Wonder Pets. I would so this was kind of my coping mechanism was I want to make this cartoon about a chicken, you know, who gets in gunfights.
Serious. Sorry.
So yeah, we just scribble all these storyboards down on coffee breaks and stuff, and it was about this naive chicken who kind of has to get in all these fights.
But he didn't ask to be.
No. He's
instead
like
instead of a glass of milk, he gets a glass of seed.
He gets some bird seed. Yeah. He's kind of like a Midwesterner, you know, going out to the big city, which I think has a lot to do with my own story.
And what's fun? You also think you had bird seed in the New York Tavern?
Yeah, sure. Go and ask for a glass of milk. Yeah.
And that's true. If you do that in a Western, you're just asking to get beat up,
yeah,
big time. Especially when you see the yellow teeth bad guys playing poker with cats.
Yeah, you don't want to mess with them. Yeah.
Or one-eyed guys.
You know, I figured, put some cats in it and some
and some pie.
There's a barking horse and a toaster.
Yeah, you got a horse with a toaster fetish. That's awesome. It's a security toaster.
Yeah.
He holds it like Linus. I'm not kidding.
It's like his blanket. Yeah.
I want to see it. Seriously, this sounds awesome.
I told you.
You're really talking it up here.
No, really.
It sounds really cool.
It is.
Yeah.
You should. I think, you know what? You should make this into a 3-hour Sergio Leone story. It's like Chicken Run with guns.
Yeah. Maybe Heaven's Gate with a chicken.
Only shorter and cheaper to make.
It still has roller skates, though, I guess.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, bad guys with roller skates. Yeah. It's another reference.
So how long did it take for you to make it?
It took about 8 months, you know, working on and off through school. It was my senior project. Senior project at NYU.
At NYU?
Mm-hmm.
And you told us this is your, 21st? You've lost count of how many festivals you've gone to.
It's played at quite a few. I've been very fortunate.
Such as? Come on, name festival drop for us.
It was... Best Animation at AFI Dallas, won an award at Aspen Shorts Fest, screened at the Directors Guild, all that jazz and stuff.
Not all that jazz. That would be a whole... That's a Chicken Fosse musical.
Yeah. I've been really lucky. You know, I just made this to have fun, so I'm glad other people like it, too.
Oh, gosh, yes. Are you kidding? And you know it's on YouTube. Is that, do you have issues with that?
Oh, no.
Yeah, it is. You
is
know.
That good or bad?
We're serious.
Mm-hmm. It is on YouTube. It's something, you know, festivals, do they like it if it's on YouTube? Do they not like it? I think at the end of the day, if it's a good film, you know, nobody really minds if I just want people to see it.
How grateful that is of you.
Oh, thank you.
No, that's cool. We'll go. That means we can go check it out.
Awesome. I really want to see it. That sounds really cool.
I have the screener. We can, you know.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, how do you think I saw it?
Yeah. I have a bootleg, so.
Oh, okay.
You have your own bootleg. That's nice.
It's free.
Do they have the guys with the bootlegs at the film festival? They wear better clothes.
I guess, you know, if somebody bootlegged my film, I would just be flattered. I would say, wow, thanks.
Can we do the commentary? Just 6 minutes of, oh, that was cool.
Yeah. Wow, a DVD release. All right. I can buy it on the train.
A pie.
Yeah.
Happy faces.
Yeah.
So, what are you working on next? I mean, how many more festivals do you have, and then what's the next project?
I'm not sure. I think it's going to go around some more. I think it's going to play in Singapore sometime.
Will you go?
Stuff. I hope so. We'll see.
Of all the festivals, how many have you been to, or do you go to all of them, or you go to...
You know, I wish I could go to all of them. I went to Aspen. I went to a couple in New York, California. But, you know, it's tough to travel around. I've been working since then, too. On like the latest Ice Age movie, just doing storyboards for that.
Really?
Yeah.
Anything you can tell us?
Well, I worked on Ice Age 3, and I'm working on this other movie called Rio, developing some other stuff. But
it's about the Olympic bid. No.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry.
We were very excited, you know. Working on some more shorts of my own. Just,
such as?
There's a short I want to make called Dr. Breakfast, actually, and it's really weird.
The toaster with a horse fetish?
It's, I don't know. It's about his soul comes out of his eyeball and just goes around the world eating things.
Cool.
That might be kind of a hard sell, but...
No, keep going.
I'll let you know when I'm done with it.
Yes, please do.
And then these two deer kind of come and take care of his catatonic body while his soul is wandering around.
I like it.
You guys are just like staring at me.
No, I watch... I don't want to make, like, comparisons, but I watch Tim and Eric a lot. And it's
okay.
I don't know. Yeah, I like that kind of stuff. But
bizarre.
Tim Buhut or Tim Minerick? I'm like,
No, not yet.
Oh, you gotta watch it.
Well, you gotta talk to the child. She's currently in a huge Phineas and Ferb stage.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know if she's like the.
Is she still watching Wonder Pets or no?
Well, no, it's a weird thing. We talked about this before as parents.
I couldn't believe that it was. I was like, what? There's a guinea pig and it does stuff.
TV shows, certain TV shows are like Friends. Because as the child gets older, they don't play with them as much.
Yeah.
And you sit there like, you know what? I haven't seen Pingu in a long time. Or I haven't seen... I haven't seen the Wonder Pets in a long time because she's in school now.
Yeah.
So, or occasionally, like if there's a fall break is coming up, that means she gets to actually watch Curious George at home, live. Well, not live, but anyway. But yeah, occasionally she gets to visit old friends like Wonder. Yeah, she loves Wonder Pets. We go around singing those scenarios. Oh no, there's a baby kitten.
Yeah.
It wants to come outside.
Gotta save the platypus.
Not Perry the platypus. That's the whole other thing.
Yeah.
Did you work on that during school?
Yeah. I New York's great. You can work on stuff while you're in school. I worked on some of the SNL cartoons.
Oh,
and
wow.
It was
cool.
a great place to cut my teeth. You know those TV Funhouse?
Yes, which anyone?
The
gay duo? Did you do? No.
No, it's the same guys. Robert Swindle does all those. So I did like a Kobayashi one, and those deadlines are crazy though.
You gotta get those done quick.
Yeah, I think we worked for about 40 hours straight on one. I can remember.
Wow.
Well, you know, you're young. You can do that. Us, our age. Well, okay, my age. I need a nap and a bowl of Wheaties. Kind of like this pledge drive going on. So I guess either what films have you seen recently or what films got you interested in filmmaking?
Recently I try and watch a lot of midnight movies in New York, so
do they still do midnight movies now?
Oh yeah.
It's a lost art.
It's
we don't
beautiful.
Do those here.
What have I seen recently? Maybe Ghostbusters, you know.
That's good.
Ghostbusters at midnight.
25 years, that's cool.
A bunch of fans is pretty awesome. The Holy Mountain was pretty crazy.
Okay.
And then I saw a Big Fan recently.
Oh, the Patton Oswalt picture.
Yeah.
Good?
It's horrible to watch. It's
very
great, but it's very uncomfortable.
Or the, what was it, The Onion had the article, 20 some odd great films that you can only sit through once.
Yeah, it's very
kinda
squirm
like
inducing.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, well, that means we'll get that in about 4 months. Because we're indie.
Yeah. I just grew up kind of watching everything.
Good for you.
So
good mom. You watch all sorts of stuff.
Are you from Indy? Are you from the Midwest?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you are. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So I just moved out to New York for school.
Wow.
Can't you tell from his Midwestern politeness of our snarky comments?
Pretty laid back, yeah.
Singing the Wonder Pets, even though it's buried into his psyche.
I can't believe you guys made fun of Oprah. That's just, it's not cool.
Oh, shut up.
As a Midwesterner.
She is her own planet, yet alone. She's not a Midwesterner. Come on now.
Yes, she is. She loves Chicago.
Yeah, so unless she could shut down the streets and do whatever she wants.
Wow.
And do whatever she wants.
Except get the Olympics.
Oh, man.
Yeah, the city's not going to lose millions of dollars over sports. Oh, that's so sad.
Do you have a website up where people can check out?
Oh, sure, yeah, absolutely. I've got a blog. It's just stephenneary.blogspot, Stephen with a P-H, and then neary.blogspot. And, I post all the work that I'm working on.
He's got a little mailbox for contact.
Oh, yeah.
That's how we got in touch.
And check out my YouTube channel, you know.
Pizza
for Everyone.
What's your YouTube channel called?
Pizza for Everyone.
Pizza for Everyone.
Yeah, it's just a nice democratic name.
That's easy to remember.
I think we have an underwriter now.
Pizza for Everyone
Film Sociology. Hey, just so people know, when is your film going to be shown?
Oh, right. It's going to be tomorrow at 3 o'clock, I think, in Greenwood.
Okay.
And it's going to be playing Tuesday and Wednesday as well. And you can check out Heartland Film Festival's website to see that.
HeartlandFilmFestival.org.
Yes.
And check out Stephen's webpage and his blog.
Oh, please.
And your pizza.
Yeah.
So are you going to see some of the Westerns now that I just told you about?
No. I love Westerns. It's great. I love the Clint Eastwood ones and all the spaghetti stuff.
We have a semi-regular guest who will rename nameless, Colleen, who owns The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, but has not watched it yet. And I think she's not watching it just to spite me.
Yeah.
So Watch The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly and report back so I can say I have a guest who came in from New York who saw the film faster than you. Steven, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Good to have you back in Muncie. Enjoy the festival. I know.
So,
in Muncie. Well, in Muncie and here. Anyway, until next week, don't forget the 25th, Easley Winery, 1 o'clock. On behalf of Melissa Davis, really, I'm Matthew Soucy. Go see a good movie. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI, HD to the Point, and WFYI.org.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.